God, we thank you and praise you, magnifying you for who you are and what you mean in our lives, God. Thanking you for all things that you have done. You are good. You are great. We honor you. God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would speak through my vocal cords, that you would think through my mind, that it would be all of you, less of me, and the people will be eternally blessed and touched. And we say thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, amen. Amen. With your Bibles in your hands, would you grab that? I'm going to shift and transition us from "This is my Bible." I want to add something else. I want to change that. We've done that almost for 7 years, but we're going to do something that's going to impact us in our vision. So just grab your Bibles in your hand and repeat after me. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple. Living our vision every day. Where we connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, preach this word. All right, very good. Thank you very much. I believe it's time for us as people to know our vision statement, as it's just to come out of us like that. And so we're going to keep doing it to where you know it. If somebody asks you, what are you about? You will be able to say it. If somebody asks you, why do y'all have them things on the wall? Some of y'all be like, it's got something to do with something. Ask the pastor. No, I want you to know. All right, put the title of the message up today. Title of the message is, Can You Stand the Rain? Can you stand the rain? So obviously I didn't get this out of the scripture. I got this from New Edition. It's a New Edition song, so we're going to be taking scripture and New Edition lyrics to paint a picture. I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning one day and on the weekend, and I grabbed my phone and I was going through Instagram, and I seen a concert where the people were singing the song New Edition, Can You Stand the Rain. The person who was doing the singing had held the mic out and the crowd was singing. And the song just stayed in my heart and stayed in my spirit. And I even did a video, a joking video, and put it where I was actually singing the song. But as I began to think about it, I was like, I need to preach on this. I need to talk about this. Number one, right now, we are in a rainy season. Season of death. Like I said, we've dealt with just about 8 deaths in 3 weeks. That's a lot of death. That's a lot of praying. When I answer my phone, I'm looking for somebody to say, Pastor Andre, I'm getting ready to sow $1 million in your ministry. So I answer the phone with great expectation. But oftentimes I'm hearing so-and-so died. Can you help us with the funeral? So-and-so is sick, or so-and-so is in jail. And I don't mind helping, but sometimes you have to ask yourself, how much more rain will it be? And the question I need to ask you is, can you stand the rain? Because every season of life is not a peachy season. There's going to be seasons of rain and seasons of storm and seasons of wind. And you may have came here and you might be right at the beginning of your rainy season. And I want to give you some help and some strength to help you push on. Somebody say, push on. First thing we're going to do, we're going to look at a phrase of the song. We'll put that up. It says this, sunny days, everybody loves them. But tell me, baby, can you stand the rain? Everybody can handle the sunshine when there's money in the bank and the marriage is good and the kids are fine. It's easy to praise God in the sunny days. But then it says this, storms will come. It might be sunny now, but storms will come. This we know for sure. This we know for sure. But can you stand the rain? How good of a Christian are you when there is no sun in sight? For days and weeks and months and sometimes years. How do you pick your head up off the pillow when you don't know if you're going to lay back down depressed? depressed again, or sick again, or broke again, or tired again. Yes, sunny days are easy, but can you stand the rain? Can you still love God in a rainy season? Can you hold on to your confession in a rainy season? Are you still saved in a rainy season? Can you still give in a rainy season? Can you still pray in a rainy season? Yeah, I understand you're good in the sunny days, but can you stand the rain? Let's go to this. Let's go to Deuteronomy 31 and 6. From the English Standard Version.
Be strong and courageous.
Stop right there. Why would God tell us to be strong and courageous if we was never going to face anything? This was Moses was closing the book of Deuteronomy, the last, the end of the Torah. And he was speaking to the people, and he was talking to Joseph, not Joseph, but Joshua, who was going to carry on the next leg. And he said, be strong and courageous. That's funny is that Joshua is getting ready to move into the promised land. But sometimes you can't go into the promised land without some fighting. So he said, be strong and courageous. Now read some more.
Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you.
This is where we get the verse that is quoted in Hebrew that says, God will never leave us nor forsake us. So the first thing that we have comfort in our time of rainy season and needing to be strong and courageous and knowing that God goes with us is that God will neither leave us nor forsake us. We've heard that kind of talk all of our life, that God's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you. But I want to flip it. Let's go and put this up on the screen. It says what? Can God say the same about you? God has promised, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. But if God was asked the same thing about Andre, could he say, Andre won't leave me or forsake me either? It's one thing to know that God will be with you. It's another thing for God to know you'll be with him. Now, this leads me to another portion of the song. Put that up. It says, on a perfect day, I know that I can count on you for sure. But when that's not possible, tell me, can you weather the storm? What New Edition was saying, they were talking from the male perspective, said, I want me a woman, but I know that on a perfect day, I can count on you. But I'm not just looking for a woman that I can count on a perfect day. I want to know when that's not possible. When I can't take you out and buy you steak and wine and dine you, I want to know, can you weather the storm with me? Now, I want to stop and being spiritual for a second. I want to jump just natural for just a quick second. Some of y'all are spoiled women. As long as the money is coming in, you are a ride or die woman. But let him get unemployed. Let him go through a rough season. I don't understand some of y'all women who want the man to have it all together day one. You want him to pull up in a Lamborghini. You want everything right. And sometimes it doesn't work like that. Sometimes you have to make up in your mind, I'm going to be with him because I see what's in him. My wife fell in love with me when I had a raggedy van that even didn't belong to me, but she loved me for me. And now that we are together, I don't mind doing anything for her because she stayed with me in the storm. Let me flip and talk about men too. Sometimes you women need to let go of these men because as long as you babysitting him and taking care of him and letting him sleep for free, eat for free, and do other stuff we ain't gonna talk about in church for free, he on your team. But the moment you start having some morals and some codes and you're not gonna do any and everything, then you find out they got somebody else. You need somebody that can not just deal with perfect days, they can deal with storms. And what I hear God saying to the church, I need some Christians that I can count on beyond just perfect days. The next part of the song says this, because I need somebody, not I want, but I need somebody who will stand by me through the good times and bad times. She will always, always be right there for me. I hear God saying, if I take you through some bad times, can I trust that you'll still lift up the name of Jesus? If a loved one dies that you didn't expect would die, will you still love me as your Father God? Because it won't be easy. It won't be pretty. But I'm looking for somebody that can handle the rain. Mm-hmm. Let me say it this way. Let me kind of shift just a little bit and talk about natural flowers and natural plants. There's something you learn in school called photosynthesis. And that is where the plant gets its nutrients because it's able to draw energy from the sun and actually feed off of it and cause itself to grow from the process of photosynthesis. And that photon is meaning the light from the sun feeds it. But what we understand and know is that if it's only sunlight, the plant will dry up. The plant will die. It doesn't just need sunlight, it also needs some rain in order to water it and mix with the soil. So what the sun is doing, the water supplements it and it works together. One way it's said in the scripture, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. So because of that, If you're have a plant in your house, normally you can keep it alive just by watering it yourself. But if you want a tree, you can't just water a tree by yourself. It needs some continual rain. In other words, sometimes in order for a tree to really grow, it needs a storm. So sometimes the storm you're in is not because you've done anything wrong, but in order for you to go where you need to go, God must schedule a storm. He must put a storm on your schedule. He might have to be like he did with Job and tell the devil, have you considered my servant Royce? Because where I'm trying to take him, I got to let the devil get in there and send some storms because there's some growth that is needed in his life. And what I love about the story of Job, the Bible said he was perfect and upright. The storm didn't come because he was wrong. The storm came because he still needed to grow. Sometimes you can be growing and on the right path and God will still schedule a storm in your life. He was still because what you need, that rain. But there's more to it. Let's put this up on the screen. We're asking you questions. Why does God schedule storms in our life? So why? I'm telling you that we need the nutrients, but there's something deeper. We're going to go to the scripture and show you why storms are scheduled in our life. Look at the first verse, Hebrews 12 and 26.
At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.
We're dropping in the middle of Hebrews, and Paul is talking and saying that God said, I'm going to shake the earth, but not just the earth, but the heavens and the earth. So here's what I want you to understand. So we know that we need rain to grow. So why can't we get rain without the storm? Why can't we just get a nice shower and going about our business? I can handle the shower, but it's when the shower comes with thunder and lightning and wind that shakes me and rocks me. It's not that I mind the rain, I mind the storm. I mind all the stuff that goes with it. You know, it's one thing to have one problem go, like your bills are bad, but it's one thing when you have your money is low, your body is sick, your family is messed up, people are dying, and your job is up in the air, and you don't like what's going on in the government. It's another thing when everything is going wrong at the same time. Sometimes I want to tell God, pick a struggle. I don't want to do all the struggles at the same time. I don't want to be broke and ugly. Can I at least have one thing going on in my life? Why does it all have to go bad at the same time? But the Bible says it's because sometimes in life you need a shake. Because there's some stuff that won't come off of you until you get shook. If you are a tree, not only do you have leaves, you also have insects. You also have things trying to rob you. So God says, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to grow you, but shake you. There's some stuff attached to you that will rob you later on. So I'm trying to shake you. The Bible says it is the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's some little stuff in your life. It's not sin. I ain't talking about sin. You're going to heaven. But it's some small stuff that's robbing you of the joy that you need to have. So I got to shake you. I got to have a storm to rock you. So you put your hope and your trust in God alone. Next verse.
This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain.
What God is doing, there's some stuff that comes from the flesh. And there's some stuff that comes from the spirit. And when God gets done shaking you, only what you're supposed to have is going to be able to stay. You can't go through a real storm and come out with a whole bunch of junk that you ain't got no business with. Some of y'all, I can't forgive so-and-so. I can't forgive. When you laying in ICU with tubes up your nose, you might learn how to forgive because you got shook. And a storm at the right time, in the right season, has a way of separating you from stuff you don't need. Separating you from people you don't need. A lot of people are with you long as you got money. Long as you footing the bill. Long as all the drinks is on me. But when you can't do all that, you find out who is really with you when you at the bottom. You'll find out who's really on your side. So sometimes it's God shaking you. Why did so-and-so leave me and cheat on me? Because God was shaking you. He never was supposed to be in your life, but you so caught up. They used to tell us young people, your nose was wide open. You was caught up and you just couldn't see. I'm in love. I'm in love. But when your heart gets broken, then your eyes open up. And sometimes we look at God and say, God, why are you doing me like that? But you better thank him for the shaking. Because once the love wears off, sometimes you find out you've connected yourself to somebody you can't even stand. You need the shaking. You need the storm. And I want to know, Deliverance Temple, can you stand the rain? Next verse.
Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
This is interesting. He talks about shaking. He said, but he didn't say anything about receiving until later. Your storm sometimes is helping you receive. You're going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In other words, in the process of the storm and the rain, you're going to get something down in your spirit that cannot be shaken. Read some more.
And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe.
When a person has been shaken and has had a good storm, you don't have to beg them to worship.
Amen.
Worship comes out of their spirit.
Yes.
Because sometimes that's all they have left is their praise. Oh, God, I give you praise
yes,
and glory.
God.
Well, why are you worshiping like that? You don't have no money. You're not married. But you don't know God's been good to
yes,
me.
Yes, God.
I could have lost my mind. I should have lost my mind. The fact that I'm still here and even able to think, God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God is looking for some true worshipers, that you don't need everything to be right for you to give him glory. When you've been through enough storms in your life, you say, hallelujah, thine the glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Job, the Bible says that when he was attacked, he fell down and worshiped. Prideful people don't know how to worship. Prideful people haven't been brought low enough. But live a little. Go through life a little. You learn, the older I get, when I wake up, I'm thanking God just that I woke up. I don't need no money, no food, no clothes. I'm glad that my eyes opened up because somebody's eyes didn't open up. Thank you, God. I don't care for our president, but thank you, God, for living in the United States of America with all our problems and all our issues, because I've been other places in the world, and it don't have to be like it is. When other people talk about prosperity, two bowls of rice is prosperity to them. The fact that I got a chance to eat twice a day is prosperity to them. You're not as bad off as you think you are. You need to learn to praise God for every little thing, because God has been good to you. Every time you get up in the plane and the plane lands, you ought to thank God because it didn't have to land. Somebody. I was thinking about this as I was flying back home. For $300, I was flying back from New York to Indianapolis. But for $300, I put my life in somebody else's hand. I could have been dead for $300. So I don't take it for granted that the plane lifted off and it went back down. I thank God. I thank God that my car stays on the road. I thank God. Thank God that there was not a gas leak in my home and everybody woke up dead. I thank God. When you've been shaken and been through storms, you learn how to praise God for every little blessing, because there is no such thing as a little blessing. I thank God. There's times in my life where I've been so tired that I come into the garage and close the garage door before turning the car off, and almost drift off asleep and wake up and realize I didn't turn the car off. But had I fell asleep, I would have died in my car, in the garage. Thank you for life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Thank you, God. Sometimes you don't get grateful till you've been through some hell. Sometimes you don't get thankful till you've been through some trouble. Let's read Hebrews 12:29. This will put it all in perspective for us.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Here's what God is letting us know. What's wrong in you is going to come out one way or the other. You better accept the rain, because you don't want his fire. I don't want you to have to burn stuff off of me. Let me just go ahead and accept the rain and the storm and the wind. Because one way or another, that nasty attitude is going to leave one way or the other. The one scripture says, it's better to fall on the rock than to have the rock fall on you. It's better to go through stuff and come out of it humble than to be humble. Here's another thing. If you don't humble yourself, you'll end up being humiliated, which is the same root word for humble. You might as well choose humility over humiliation. I don't want to stay on this too long, but some of y'all, you think your sins are secret. And they may be secret to the pastor, but God knows them. Now, do you want to be exposed, or do you want to come to his grace and mercy? Do you want to be on the front page of the paper and then we find out and pray for you? Or would you just rather go secretly to somebody and say, listen, I'm struggling with some stuff. Help me. Stop faking the funk, because it's going to show up one way or the other. All right. Let's ask this question. Can I be prepared for stormy rain? So if I know the rain is going to come and the storm's going to come, is there a way that I can prepare for? Normally, in the weather system, the weatherman tells us it's going to be a storm. If they tell us it's going to be an ice storm, go to Mars 5 hours later. You won't find no water, no milk. People take stuff because they're trying to prepare for it. All right, let's look at Matthew 7:24. Read that.
Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Let me ask you a question. I love seeing you, but what's the point of coming every Sunday if you're going to walk out and not do none of it? Amen. What's the point of listening to sermons if you're not going to apply anything that you heard? The scripture says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and then does them, he's going to be like a person who built his house with a sure foundation. Read some more. Verse 25.
And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock.
Oh, Pastor Andrea, you look like you're advancing in God. I see a new anointing on you. I've been through some rains, but I had my house built on a rock. That rock is Jesus. This is not fake and phony to me. I'm not here. If you tell me I can't preach another day in my life, I'll still serve God, because I'm not serving God to preach. I'm not serving God to wear suits and bow ties. I'm serving God because he's the rock of my foundation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and they are safe. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This thing is real to me, because there's some storms and some rains and some winds that have beat against my life. And I found out that when the rain stopped and the storm stopped, I was still standing. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm still here. And it depends on how you process this thing. If this is just going to be a routine for you, this is the way we go to church, go to church, go to church. This is the way we be a saint, be a saint. If this is going to be a plaything for you, the devil will run you raggedy. I don't understand people playing church. I don't have time to play. I want God for real. Let me ask you this question. I thought about this today just as I was taking a shower. If I could convince to you that there is no heaven and there is no hell, I can convince you when you die, it's over. How many of you would still choose to be in a relationship with God? Some of y'all would bump it, shoot. Ain't no heaven, ain't no hell. I'm about to have about 17 girlfriends. I'm about to do what I want to do. Or is it, it's not about what you can do for me, God. I just like you for you. I like your presence, God. If you can convince me there is not another reward, if you can convince me my life won't change and I won't have extra money and my marriage might be mediocre, I still want you, because there's something about you that makes me tick. It's something about you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. I want you. I'm not saying everybody has to be at that place. Some of y'all want reward. But at some point, your relationship with God ought to be the utmost importance to you. In Bible study, we're talking about hearing God and the importance of hearing God. Why would you be saved 10 years and you ain't never heard from God? You don't really talk to God unless there's a crisis, unless there is a storm. I don't want to raise lazy Christians. I want to raise people that are in relationship with God. And when you are in a relationship, there's some stuff you do. Well, let me just get real normal. Every now and then, Devin will pass by me and I just stare, bite my lip. And she looked like, what you looking at? I'm like, oh, never mind. I still like what I see. Even though we've been married 18 years, and even though life has brought challenges, I still like what I see. I'm not saying we're in the bed together. I'm saying just her presence still wakes up something in me. If the presence of God doesn't stir you up, you may not be as close to him as you need to be. You ought to bite your lip just thinking about the goodness of God. I remember in the Cogent Church, every time somebody stood up to testify, they would say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. In other words, he doesn't have to do anything new for me. If I just look back over my life, I'm grateful for this God. Let's read verse 26.
And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
Said everybody who comes and hears the word, but just lets it go in one ear, out the other. You ever talk to teenagers, and you pouring your life out to them, tell them don't do this and don't do that, and you see that blank look on their face. And you know I'm wasting a lot of time, because I'm talking to them, but they're going to go and do what they want to do. And as a pastoral counselor, I counsel people. And most time when people want you to counsel them, they want to do all the talking. And I listen. I'm a good listener. I listen, listen, listen. Okay, it's an hour and a half of talking. So let me interject something. The moment I say something, that blank look comes on their face. Well, maybe this one fella, he always wants to counsel him about relationships. And one time I said, have you ever noticed that you're always dating the same girl? Well, he wanted to talk about something else. He didn't want to talk about the real. And sometimes when the word of God comes, if we're not shouting and dancing, we don't want to hear it. If we're not saying, God's going to turn it around in 2 hours, your life's going to change. Well, what if it don't change in 2 years? We only want to hear the easy stuff. And when it don't come easy, some of us have that blank stare in one ear, out the other. I don't judge you. I'm a grace preacher. So I don't come in here beating you up about fornication all the time. I don't hardly talk about it. But if you're on your 17th man and you have never got anything together, maybe you stop going to bed the very first night you meet him. But you don't want to hear that. Only God can judge me. Tupac said that. God didn't say that. You got your scriptures wrong. That was Brother Tupac, and Brother Tupac is gone, dead and gone. The scripture says we judge a tree by its fruit. And I'm looking at your rotten fruit and saying maybe you should make some changes. The Christians just judge everybody. Okay, hey, I ain't saying you ain't going to heaven. Live how you want to live, but don't be telling me about your rotten fruit because I'm trying to help you change the root. It's the root that affects the fruit. As long as the root is bad and the root is rotten, the fruit don't be rotten. But in order to dig something up at the root, it hurts. And we don't like the hurting stuff. We don't like when God breaks us and shakes us and tries to mold us. We don't like that, but I promise if you stay in it. The scripture says this way, no chastening for the present seems good. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What you wear don't make you righteous. What you go through makes you righteous. And so here it says it's like a man building his house on sand. Think about it. It's hard for us to kind of think about it because we don't live in the beach climate. But if you've been to a beach and you see how fickle the sand is, you can take a beautiful sand castle. It can be beautiful and marvelous, but one wave can wipe it all out. Because sand was not made to be built upon. And so there's a lot of Christians, their whole Christianity is built on sand. And the moment somebody challenges them with something else, they don't know what to say. We're in a season now where even on Facebook, a lot of people are challenging Christianity, and some of them have done their homework and they know stuff, and there's a lot of Christians don't have no idea. They can't defend. They can't even tell you why they're saved. Well, my mama, you need to know more than your mama. Why are you saved? Well, I don't know. It's coming a day where it's going to be like Elijah and the prophets of Baal, that he who answers with fire. And some of y'all need to have a better fire and a better testimony and stop telling folks what your pastor said. No, what do you say? I know why I'm saved, but why are you saved? Have you looked at the word of God from last Sunday? Yeah, maybe Devin preached a good message, but have you told the devil, boy, by yourself? Are you just coming here? Are you going to live what we're preaching? Because if you're not, and don't say you're bad, don't say you're wrong. You're just building on an unsure foundation. Next verse says this.
And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Great was the fall of it. It's funny how no one stopped them from building. The devil won't stop you from building as long as you're building on the wrong foundation. He don't care how long you say you've been a Christian. You can care for 15 20, 25 years, you could be a church mother, you could be a deacon, you could be a bishop, you could be a pastor. But in all those years you've been building on the wrong foundation, when the winds come, the fall will be great. And I don't want to train you to be that way. I want to train you to dig deep. I want you to be like Jed Clampett. I want you to find a bubbling crude. I want you to find something that you would give your life for. The one scripture says a person was digging in the field and found a pearl of great price and went and sold all they had to get the field. Your salvation is that field. It is that pearl. You got to give everything for it. You got to build for it. You got to fight for it. You got to stand for it. You got to cry for it. You got to live for it, because it's the only thing that's going to matter. At the end of the age, only what you do for Christ will last. Another scripture says it this way: when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? What will he find? I'm not for sure how long we are off from the return of Christ. I can't tell you. I think about it, it seems close, but when you really think about it, back in the 60s, people thought it was close. Because there was all kinds of upheaval and all kinds of issues. The people going through the Holocaust thought it was close. Every age feels like it's close because there's always evil in every age. But if God was to come back in 2018, this year, how many could say right now, I'd be ready? I'm not saying that you're perfect, but you know with the relationship you have, you will be ready. Because you have such a relationship with God that when you're not right, the Lord helps you and teaches you. How can you go to bed every night and not know you're standing with God? I ain't trying to scare you with hell and all that stuff. I'm just saying, why be about it by name, but not about it by life? Why have the banner of I'm saved, I belong to the Deliverance Temple, but you don't have a life that reflects what we're talking about? How about we line up to what we talk about? And what I really think, it has nothing to do with Christ's return. It has everything to do with our power. And we will walk in another level of power, and we can demand a thing and command a thing, and demons and devils will flee and run from us, but they're not scared of us because we don't have what we claim we have. We have a form of godliness, but denying the power. I'm ready for some power in the house of God. I'm ready for the miraculous to be back in the house of God. I'm ready for us to call in money and money come. And here's another thing. I know we're not everything we say, because I look at our offerings. Oh, and that ain't got nothing to do with it yet. It does. Let me just throw this out there. Right? This is off the subject. Paul used to say something. He said, this is God and this is me. This ain't God. This is just me talking. So you can take it with a grain of salt. I was just thinking today, I'm probably at my General Motors salary is probably close to $80,000 a year. Probably if I work overtime, probably $80,000 a year. The reason why I haven't come off the job, because y'all can't afford to pay me $80,000 a year. I got to thinking, if 80 people gave $1,000 over a whole year, that would be my salary. Just $1,000. So that means most of the people that come, they come and eat and leave. Eat and leave. They don't have any real connection to the ministry. They will let me work until I die. Say, oh, he was a good man. But they don't have any real connection. A lot of Christians want stuff for free. They don't want it to cost them anything. So how are y'all doing all the things you're doing? Because the ones that give are giving at high levels. But the ones that don't are just coming in. Oh, y'all don't like that kind of preaching. Maybe let me get on back over to here. But the foundation, if we're going to save the world, how are we going to save the world and we can't get more than a couple dollars in the offering? And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying people don't have the connection because it's not real to them. It's not real. It's just a game. It's just something we do. I go to church. The reason why I go to church is because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. So since I can't have a chicken sandwich, I might as well come to Deliverance Temple. You have to have a better reason than that to be connected to a ministry. I'm here because I die without. Because this is what I'm called to do. And that's why I do it, whether you give or not, because it's a part of who I am. It's stuck in my DNA. If you took away my mic, I'd still find a way to preach. This is who I am. But who are you? Down on the inside of yourself. Now, that was for all the people not doing right, maybe the people out in TV land. Let's read this for all the people who are doing right. And this is, we're actually going to come to a close here. We're going to get out a little early. Read this.
I can stand the rain, but what if I'm getting tired?
What if you say, Pastor, I can stand the rain. I done been through a lot in my life. I'm going through something right now. But to be honest, I'm tired. If you look back over my life, Pastor, I done went through a whole bunch of stuff. So I can stand. I've had a lot of disappointments. I still gave. I still praise. I still listen to you preach. I'm still helping other people. But I'm tired. It's okay to be honest. Sometimes we get tired. But what does the Bible say when you've stood and you're tired? Does it say go ahead and just take off? Read the next verse. Y'all are already ahead of me. Go ahead. Ephesians 6, 13, 14.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore.
The Bible answers your question this way. If you're tired of standing, keep on standing. But it offers you something. It says, first of all, it'll help you if you take on the whole armor of God. If you get dressed in what you need, not just to fight, but dressed in what you need to defend, then you have the ability to stand. That way, when the devil challenges you, you can laugh and look at him in his face and say, bring it on, devil, because I know how to stand. I know how to go through hell and high water. And this is why the three Hebrew boys, as I'm closing, was able to step in the fire and say, whether he delivers us or not, I know he's able. And what a lot of people don't understand, when they were taken captive, they were castrated. So these are young men who no longer have their male genitalia. They have been castrated because they made them eunuchs. They made them that way, forced. After you've already robbed me of everything that I have and I'm still talking to God, your fire does not scare me. I'll step in the fire, and whether I die or not, I'll still declare the name of the Lord. When you've gone through enough hell and you've had stuff cut off of you, the devil can't scare you with stuff. You're going to divorce. You can't scare me with a divorce. You're going to be unemployed. You can't scare me with some unemployment. You're going to have cancer. You can't scare me with cancer. For God I live, for God I die. I can stand the rain, and having done all to stand, I plan to keep on standing. But we serve a God that when it's time for deliverance, deliverance always shows up. You might be tired, you might be weak. What the scripture says, that when they stepped in the furnace, there was another person in there. And I'm closing with this. I just thought about this. I read to you that God is a consuming fire. And what I think happened, I believe, if you take a glass of water and you put your fist in the water, what happens to the water? Spills out. So the Bible says that the three Hebrew boys, the people who were taking them in the fire, that the fire jumped out and burned up the people who were putting them in there. What happened? God is a consuming fire. So when God got down in the real fire jumped out. And all that was left was God, who is the consuming fire. So it still looked like fire, but it was God. And so when they stepped in, they didn't step into fire, they stepped into God. Your next trial looks like trouble, but God had already stepped down in it, and all the trouble had gotten leaked out. And so when you step into trouble, it's no longer trouble. You're stepping into God. You can stand the rain because of the God that you serve. Somebody say, I can stand the rain. Say, I can stand the rain. All right, if you can stand the rain, stand on your feet. We're finished.